Chris Landry every Thursday. LandryFootball.com will let you know how you can get all of his information. That's college and pro. Incredibly thorough. Chris, first question from Royal Pain says, Chris, did you notice if the Bama defensive linemen were freelancing a lot and seemingly hitting the wrong gaps? It didn't look like they had a good day for them, and it hurt the linebackers, is his question for you.
Yeah, I went got a bunch of podcasts that I do. One of them is an Alabama football scouting report, which you can catch that over at we're doing a radio show in Tuscaloosa there for a number of years, and we kind of broke down the whole Alabama defensive issues. The biggest thing is offenses like Florida and Ole Miss give Alabama defenses a lot of trouble because they do a really good job with angle blocking, and there was a lot of what I would call lack of discipline, lack of kind of trust in understanding responsibilities. Good defense is about assignment. It's about gap integrity and doing your job. You've got the front side A gap. You've got to hold the front side A gap. And these offenses are just two examples of ones that give you a lot of eye candy. They give you a lot of things that get you to tend to want to chase the ball. The ball's going somewhere, so the natural instinct is to run and chase. You can't do that defensively. What you have to do is you have to play sound gap control, which is why Saban has been so agitated. I know he kind of lives agitated, but why he's focused a lot of that about guys wanting, you call it freelance, basically it's chasing, not trusting. And the problem is, if you got the front side A-gap and you start chasing and now you got two guys in the front side A-gap and you got nobody in the backside B-gap, then you just got a big gash there. So when you look at it, you got to give Florida a lot of credit, and the teams that have had success with that type of a style, with Ole Miss is more tempo, with Florida is more alignment and angles, but both of them were absolutely contributing. Well, of course, the linebackers and the defense, the linebackers and the defensive line work in unison. All three levels of the defense do, but particularly in the run game, the defensive line and linebackers. So if you've got, let's say you replace a gap, meaning you post-snap make an adjustment, well, somebody has to fill your gap if you're gonna be there, if you are going to have to vacate it. And so without the proper communication, without the ability to adjust to it, without the ability to trust what your teammates are going to do next to you, you end up getting a lot of guys out of position. There are guys that made plays, they made tackles, but they were out of position for too often, and therefore they were gashed. So give Florida a lot of credit, and look at Alabama and say, man, they were a little bit too aggressive. Look, the early part of the game, Alabama was fine, but part of what Mullen does, he takes a look at what they're doing, and then he will give different looks as the game goes along because he wants to see what they're going to do and how they're going to play it. It's a little bit of a feeling out process. With all that said, the focus should be a lot on the defense, but the big thing is this is an Alabama offense that's not going to be as explosive in the passing game as the ones of the past couple of years. So they're going to have to do a better job of developing and staying committed to the running game. And I thought they maybe got a little bit too much away from that. Up 21-3, and you go three and out three straight times, that is an understated part of what happened in that game. Because if they're able to, in those three drives, at least get 3 points, 6 points, and work the clock a little bit, this game doesn't turn on its axis like it did, because then Florida doesn't have the momentum, then they don't quite get back in it. And the longer Florida, the quicker you got your defense, even though they were playing well early, back on the field, then they start to peck away. And by the time the second half took place, those issues were more prevalent and prevailing for Alabama's defense, and they were worn out. I don't think people understand that the physical part of the game affects the defense far more than the offense, because they have to chase. And the toughest thing to do physically in football is to line up defensively, take on a block, shed a block, run and chase, and then come back with a 12-second break in a huddle and do it again. In today's world where you don't huddle and you come back, that is really tough. It is far more taxing on defense, which is why defenses are built differently. The rules favor the offenses, and you've got to play more complementary ball. So that means keep your defense off the field as much as possible, play good situational defense on third down in the red zone, and be really sound in your gap control, because you've got to stop the run first and foremost, regardless what you're doing. If you can't do that, that's the quickest way to die defensively.
Husker Ron up in Ohio says he's going to be going to the Michigan State-Nebraska game. Do you give Nebraska much of a shot?
Got to play much better on special teams. They give up too many negative plays on special teams. It's as bad as anybody in major college football, consistently bad. You know, they kill themselves on special teams. It's not just about not making plays on special teams. It's just killing themselves on special teams. I mean, they probably had even a much better chance of beating Oklahoma last week if not for special teams. They gave up basically just 9 points right there. So that's got to clean up. That's the biggest problem you see with Nebraska. Yes, it's inconsistent quarterback play as it relates to the passing game. Yes, it's limitations in terms of skill position guys. But Nebraska limits, in some cases, completely reduces their chances of winning games by how dumb they play in certain aspects. So, if you play a clean game, you got a chance. I think you saw last week do a really good job defensively, forcing Oklahoma to check down and testing their patience. There's a chance, but, you know, the comfort level and the confidence level on cleaning things up on special teams when it's been quite some time for that not being fixed, I don't know. Right now, Michigan State is playing better right now in cleaner football. One quick thing on Michigan State. This is a perfect example of a lot of guys coming back, like in a COVID year, that decided in unison, you know what? They were sold on, look, we got a late start as a coaching staff. You guys come back, we can have a special year. You hear the term about buy-in. That's a good example of a buy-in. I don't know how sustainable long-term, but this is a team that bought in with key guys, and they're off to a really good start. Michigan State's looking good on film right now.
Aliquippa Bob says, Chris, I want your impression of Penn State in the middle of the defensive front. And he's talking about Ellis Brooks at linebacker, defensive tackle P.J. Mustipher. Says they seem to be playing better. Does Chris agree that Penn State defense, the defense, is stronger up the middle?
They played pretty well there. I think they played better on the edges than inside, frankly. But they've done a good job sometimes reducing their front and having success on early downs. That's a part of it. Yeah, it's better. I think they're a good team. I don't think they're a playoff caliber team. They're a good football team. I thought they played well last week. I thought they had more explosive plays. I thought Auburn really had some breakdowns in coverage. But I think Penn State, it's improved. They're good. You know, right now, I just don't see. I mean, because of Ohio State's play, there's not a team right now that's playing at a national playoff caliber level out of the Big Ten right now. So it's still September. Let's see where it goes. But it's a good Penn State team. I don't think they're a special team or a great team by any stretch. But I think they're good. They're solid in some areas, and I think they've got some explosive playmaking ability on offense to boot. I'm curious to see. And I think that the coordinators are doing a very good job, which is obviously pivotal for them and their roles.
Jim up in Ramsey, New Jersey. What does Chris think of Rutgers coming into Big Ten play? And, of course, they have that Michigan matchup.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I'm excited to see Michigan the next 2 weeks. This week against Rutgers, should be able to win it. But, you know, we know that Rutgers has played Michigan well recently. This Michigan team is playing well. They're physical. They're playing with a lot of confidence. I think this is a different look at Michigan team as it relates to Rutgers. I think they win this, and I don't know if they'll win it as decisively as they're beating the Northern Illinois of the world, but I think they'll win decisively. And I think, you know, how they're able to do it this week will give us a peek into what might happen next week, because I am really excited about Michigan-Wisconsin next week after we see what Wisconsin does with Notre Dame this Saturday.
Michigan-Wisconsin, Ole Miss-Alabama, Notre Dame-Cincinnati. Next week is very sexy. Not that I'm trying to skip over this Saturday, but that next one, Chris, is a doozy.
Yeah, it's a better week than last week and this week, although, you know, mentioned there's some good games this week. You got some, and it happens that way. We always have those, you know, weeks that, boy, this is a really, really good week. And then sometimes these nonchalant weeks end up being one of the two or three games that we look back and say, wow, what a game that was between, you know, so-and-so and so-and-so. So it's, yeah, next week shapes up pretty interesting and pretty telling on a number of levels.
Chris, we're about to send it to break, and then we'll come back with a bunch more questions. Tell everybody here how they can get your info.
LandryFootball.com is where you want to go. We break down all these games inside the film room. We take a look at, you know, Monday and Tuesday, we take every game by conference, break down what we saw, what happened, why it happened, give you a good indication and kind of where things came out of the film room there. And then obviously, working a lot yesterday and today, we're going to begin to get all the previews up for this week's games today and tomorrow. When we break them down by conference, but then we have some feature games that we kind of do a little bit more on. And this week, it's Notre Dame, Wisconsin, Arkansas, A&M, and West Virginia, Oklahoma. So we've got that the college level, the pro level, our notebooks. It's one-stop shopping. Football's like having your own scouting department for less than a magazine subscription. Take advantage of the football season sale.
More Chris Landry as we continue. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Morning traffic's on the increase 65 coming down through Millersville right now. That's what we're looking at live here around the 98 mile mark. It's just that heavy traffic flow coming down through Sumner County as well on Vietnam Vets. It's picking up by the airport here, I-40 at Donaldson Pike, Main Street at McFerrin. That's over in East Nashville. That wreck did have some injuries. Oktoberfest at Ober Gatlinburg, it kicks off tomorrow. Runs through October 31st. It's going to be a gorgeous weekend. Check it out at obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
Now that 2020 is behind us, let's make 2021 the most relaxing year. Mokara Salon and Spa is located on the fourth floor of the Omni Nashville Hotel. And Mokara Salon and Spa offers a full-service spa experience. Relax in the comfort of the signature Mokara Spa as you're pampered with the ultimate spa experience. Make time for a soothing facial, massage, manicure, or pedicure as you rejuvenate in this refined, quiet oasis. Your treatment begins in the exquisite relaxation room. And whether you're enjoying a signature body treatment or just visiting the salon, you are sure to enjoy every minute of Mokara Salon and Spa. Open Friday through Sunday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. To make an appointment, call 615-761-3600. Mokara Salon and Spa, relaxing you in 2021. Located on the fourth floor of the Omni Nashville Hotel, Fifth Avenue downtown.
What is it about a classic that appeals to us? Hello, I'm Sammy Stewart, president of F&M Bank. There are a few classics that haven't changed. This truck and these glasses. You know, with proper maintenance and a few upgrades, a classic still works today. We invite you to experience the classic customer service at F&M Bank that has been our hallmark since 1906. Check us out at myfmbank.com.
F&M Bank, your money.
Smart choice.
Radnor Wine and Spirits has been serving the greater South Nashville area since 1976. Locally owned and operated, we're here to help you celebrate anniversaries, birthdays, or anything you have to celebrate. We have a large selection of wine, spirits, and high-gravity beers that can fulfill any want you have. Visit us at 2635 8th Avenue South in Nashville, or give us a follow on Instagram at RadnorLiquor615. Log on to the new website, RadnorWineAndSpirits.com. That's Radnor Wine and Spirits in Nashville.
What in the hell's an internet?
Nashville Sports Radio has been covering Music City for over 20 years. From your radio dial to the App Store, there's no reason you should be without Nashville Sports Radio. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Nash Sports Radio. We would have a TikTok account, but we're old and we don't know what that is. From live games to live streaming, at Nash Sports Radio has you covered. Download the Nashville Sports app to your phone now, or the puppy gets it. To know anything about college football, consult with the Encyclopedia Bill Tanaka every morning.
Chris Landry with us every Thursday. Jason down in Alabama. Bill, ask Chris his impressions of Bryce Young so far, and is the staff asking him not to run so much because of the backup situation?
He's done a very good job. I think he's shown a lot of poise. I think a lot of what they want to do with him and in the pocket and some of the role in the pocket, I think he's done a good job setting protections even. And a lot of times when they've had free blitzers, they've got good blitz beater routes in place, and he's shown a lot of poise. I think he's been outstanding. I think the running of it, I mean, I think that may have something to do with it. I'll go back to what I said earlier. I think trying to establish the downhill run game is something they want to get done a little bit more. I do think maybe in certain situations they'll utilize him in the run game some, but they believe him in the passing game enough. And in fact, I think they're intoxicated with what he can do in the passing game, and he's done a very good job. But he is just, he's very, very mature. That's what's so impressive about the young guy. Physical gifts can happen in a young guy, but maturity and vision and poise are something that usually takes a little time. He's got innate qualities there.
Rock Westfall up in Wisconsin, but he's got a Miami question. He says, Chris, has Miami maxed out its commitment, meaning just its overall commitment to the program? He says, why not just keep Diaz and be done with it? Is there a coach out there that can actually return them to their glory days?
Well, I don't know about glory days. I mean, glory days is, you know, they were the dominant program for a stretch. What's happened with Miami, and I'll throw Florida State in this, and there are differences between the two, but, you know, those programs were so successful in the age before facilities became the end thing and the arms race took off and exploded, and they got a lot of talent. Now kids, it's a whole different generation where kids don't even know that Miami was good, don't even know Florida State's good. These kids are really young, and so they see a different world in terms of college football. They see facilities. They see commitment. Now, those programs in Miami and Florida State have upgraded their facilities. But what their fan bases don't get is you don't just turn on the lights and you got a new facility and it all changes it. You've got now a generation to where you've been behind. And so now in the arms race, you're constantly playing catch up, and that's what's happened. And it affects who you can recruit as a coach. You know, it's like people were, you know, why did Florida State get somebody more than a Memphis coach? Well, because you couldn't. Because no one that was more established was all that impressed with that program when they looked under the hood. And that's the same thing with Miami. With that said, there's better coaches than Manny Diaz. That's for darn sure. That you can get that would take that job. What you need is a good coach, not going to be the proven guy, but is a really good coach that can take and make as much out of it and develop more to where you're not, because Miami still underachieves. They still have pretty good talent. I mean, both those programs are in a conference to where, look, you know, when Wake Forest is doing certain things from with their resource level, you can do much more than that, relatively speaking. And those programs have been well developed in some time, and I think Mike's a good coach and has proven it. Manny has not. But, you know, whether they're going to be successful at those places, I think it's looking bleak for both, but we'll see how it plays out. But there's a better coach for Miami than Manny that can get them to the point where maybe then you could sell the program to a more proven coach down the road. But I just think both of those programs have underachieved for some time now.
Chris, I'm going to keep it in that league. Clemson and their inabilities offensively. I don't know that I expected this.
No, not to this degree. The offensive line's bad. The protection's bad. They're not developing any run creases for the run game. And I'm going to tell you something. Even though he's really struggling at USF, they're missing Jeff Scott. They have no blitz feeder routes put in. So he can't pass protect. The quarterback is shell-shocked. He is confused. I think they probably, you know, he can run. He's not a run-first guy. He's not a can't even run to the degree Trevor Lawrence can. They're going to probably have to employ that a little bit more. They're lost offensively, and they, you know, look, I think there's still talent. There's certainly more talent than the struggles we've seen, but they're not the elite talent. I think, again, we've talked about it before, and we even saw it in the playoffs last year. You know, that's, you know, Dabble is a delegator, and Dabble's not a great X's and O guy that can fix things. And I think they lack that on the offensive staff, and the defensive, you know, defense is carrying that football team completely. And it may be good enough to go through the league unbeaten, but there are going to be some challenges. And I don't know if NC State's going to be able to score enough this week on them, but I don't think you're going to have to score a lot of points on Clemson. If you can get some field position and score some points, there's some defenses, more than just one or two in the ACC, that might be able to force that team to have to score enough points, and maybe we'll fall short. So I don't know that Clemson may not drop a game or two if they don't improve appreciably on the offensive side.
Lake Norman, North Carolina Buckeye. Bill asked Chris what he thinks of Luke Fickell as a coach, and he says long-term future-wise, is he destined to land back with the Buckeyes?
Yeah, I don't know about the destined thing. You know, the time and situation always usually, you know, dictates that. And so timing's everything on these coaching searches, I've learned. He's done a really good job. He's matured as a coach, and it's a perfect example of what people say, boy, really struggled at Ohio State. Well, first coach, he wasn't ready for the job then, and he took over, and he's a really good coach, but he's put together a really good program. There's really good talent on that team. There are guys that are, you know, not the numbers of a lot of the Big Ten schools, but they've got some quality NFL draft prospects. Really good team. I like the way they, I thought they were very sloppy in the first half. In fact, they were more than sloppy. They just seemed disinterested against Indiana. And then they kind of woke up, and I thought they were quite a bit better than Indiana. And, you know, for a half, they proved that if they'd played a full four quarters, that might have been a big beatdown. Cincinnati's a really good team, really good program. You know, Luke's future is going to be situational and taking the right opportunity. I think he's going to be cautious, selective, and we're going to have to see what his fit is and where he wants to go. But certainly he's on the fast track. Well, I say he's on the fast track to getting opportunities. He's already had them. But where he wants to go, he'll have opportunities.
Josh up in London, Ohio. Bill asked Chris if he sees Ohio State fixing their defensive issues.
Well, it'd be a good time to start. they haven't done a very good job to this point. You know, this is a little bit more problematic in terms of their defense. It can get better. It should get better. I think there is a little bit more turmoil there. And why I'd be more concerned is, I think they're limited in terms of their linebacker play, so I think a lot of that is the issues up front, because I don't think their defensive line is playing setting the edge and playing as well, and I think they're trying to overcompensate for that. Now they're, you know, there's a, I don't want to call it panic, but there is a sense of urgency. And remember, you've got Ryan Day, who's the offensive guy that's on that side, by the way, that's the most talented offensive line in the country, and they're not playing very well. And so he's got, and he's got a quarterback that's becoming a little bit uncomfortable and inconsistent because of it. Thank goodness they've got a running back that's you know, is spectacular in Henderson. But he's got to try to fix that offense a little bit. And he's now, I mean, it is, you know, he's got different guy calling it and moving guys from the field to the, I mean, so he's trying things. But, you know, the fundamental part of what they're doing, it's not looking real good. Can they talent their way through the conference? I don't know. There's some roadblocks there that I didn't see at the beginning of the year. This is probably, well, they and Clemson have maybe the story of the year thus far. Those are two teams that clearly look like playoff teams in my mind from a roster standpoint. That it, I don't know who's going to make. I don't have four teams with playoff grades right now. First of all, they're not four right now. It's September. It's early. But neither one of those two teams look very good at all. And I know they're going to get better. Are they going to be good enough to answer his question? I'm not sure. I really don't.
Chris, I got a bunch of questions here, but I don't want to get too far and not touch on these games. The A&M Arkansas game first, your impressions?
Going to be interesting in the trenches. A&M's offensive line has not played all that well. They've got – the defense is great. It's lights out. Curious to see. Barry Odom's going to mix a lot of things. He'll play some two-shell, which he likes to do, but and try to pressure Calzada and try to throw him a lot of different looks. It's going to be a lot of fun. This is going to tell us an awful lot about the SEC West, and my theme is that, man, Arkansas's looked better to this point. They're able to pull this off, then I think we can really say, hey, they're not just, you know, pretty good and kind of fun and tough. They're really a player in terms of maybe being in that, you know, top three, certainly top three maybe in the SEC West.
Notre Dame, Wisconsin, your impressions there?
You know, Notre Dame played better against Purdue last week. Still think there is a matchup issue a little bit. Going up against this offensive line, going up against this Wisconsin front. I don't know that Wisconsin can make enough plays in the passing game. I think Notre Dame's a little bit more capable there. So, I don't know. I'm really intrigued. Everybody kind of assumes this is a lock Wisconsin. They, you know, tougher schedule, played better, looked better. This game's a little bit closer than people think. Wisconsin might win it, but it's a close one, and it wouldn't surprise me a lick if Notre Dame wins it. I think they've got more explosive capabilities in the passing game.
Chris, just a quick thought here. The way Kyle Hamilton played in that game was crazy good. Where do you have him graded at the moment?
The top half of the first round type of player. He's a guy that between a 6'5", 6'9", on my grading scale, we'll have to finish it up and see. He's got great instincts. He's really good tackler. He breaks on the ball well, and he's got some ability in deep coverage. He's got some ability to match up at the next level too, against big slots, tight ends, backs out of the backfield. He's a really, really good player, has been for a while.
Georgia dog down on the Emerald Coast. Bill asked Chris his impressions of Georgia, especially their defense.
Defense is great. No defense that's playing better, got more answers. Really excited about the Florida game in a few weeks. Not going to see many people be able to test them until then. Curious to see how they play it. And it's offensively, they've got a chance to get even better in the passing game. So I'm excited about tracking them. But it's kind of what I felt about Georgia. Get by Clemson, which I thought they would. They did. And it's just about just getting better and not playing to the scoreboard, but just getting better and better to see whether, you know, how far they can take it in the pivotal games, which is probably going to end up with them being in the conference championship game. How good you're going to be in December, how good you're going to be against Florida before that. That's the key, and then staying on track in all those games to get to that point.
Julia down in Atlanta. Chris, any news on Southern Cal, meaning the coaching?
No, you're not going to have any news about who they're after and all that. This is going to be a long-range They're going to do their due diligence, study guys, and obviously you're not going to make a decision until you visit with these folks. But they're doing their due diligence to get a framework of what they want, the profile, the type of guys that they'd consider. But you're not going to have the news about where they're going to pull the trigger on somebody until they meet with all these folks, and that's not going to happen after the season.
Chris, I got two more, and then we'll plug your service. Larry in North Carolina, big Michigan fan. Chris, has Michigan shown enough balance offensively?
No, but they haven't had to this point. So
right.
They've got good explosiveness. Corwin's outstanding. That's why I'm excited about seeing what they can do. So again, I think they'll get a little test this week against Rutgers. I'm curious to see how they play it. But I think they'll match up well. Wisconsin is going to be a physical matchup. So to me, I'm curious to see as they advance in the schedule, how they're able to see if they're able to make some plays in the passing game, because that's one thing they've not really had to do. They're good. They're like the few teams, you know, Iowa's another one that really good defensively, can run the football, although they played sloppy last week. I don't think I can trust their passing game. So I think Michigan's in that same category.
Down to just a couple of seconds. Mike in New Jersey and also Aliquippa Bob, same question. Ask Chris what he thinks about Penn State receiver Jahan Dotson as a draft prospect.
Well, he's a good player. He's got, you know, he plays a little bigger than his size. You know, he's still very rough as a route runner. That's okay. He'll get better there. Really good player. He's got a little bit of a Brandon Ayuk in him in terms of his ability to play outside. I think he can play in the slot. He's got a good future. As he matures, I think he's played well recently. Thought he played very well last week.
Chris, tell everybody one more time how to get all your info.
Very simple, LandryFootball.com. Get all the TV shows, all the podcasts. You get all that free. You can check out Inside the Film Room. Try it out for a month. Get the better rate. Try it out for a year. Take advantage of the football season sale, though. So check us out. If you like football, you're going to love LandryFootball.com.
Outstanding, Chris. See you next week, sir.
Thank you, bud.
There he is. Pretty darn good.